What's your type?
What's your type?
What's your type?
What's your type?
All right. Welcome back to What's Your Type podcast.
The podcast about why we want what we want and why we do who we do. I am your host, Sarah Hartshorn.
And I am your other host, Tyler Mead. And we are so excited because joining us today in the studio apartment is comedian and host of the Y'all Gay podcast, Allie Clayton, everybody.
Hi, hi, y'all. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad you said hi, y'all, after Y'all Gay podcast.
Wouldn't it be weird if I just had like a New York accent after I said that?
No. I would actually be very into that if you were like, this is an act. I don't do this unless I'm on stage.
So many people have thought that about me, though.
No, you're kidding.
Oh, there used to be like when I started in Chicago in 2009, there were definitely comics that were like talking shit about me, like, there's no way she really talks like that, nobody really talks like that.
I have, and well, I'm like, you're from North Carolina,
yeah,
right? Yeah, I have family from North Carolina. People talk like that. That,
yeah,
like I have family that talks like that, if not more, even.
Yeah,
yeah, my, I mean, mom, when she gets tired or drunk, talks like that.
I went to school in Louisiana, like I have heard more Southern than you, like,
yeah,
you're not,
yeah,
even, I mean, you are Southern obviously, but yeah, like I've heard Creole Bayou, like,
oh,
I'm,
yeah,
so sorry, I don't know what you're saying anymore.
But also, Louisiana is fascinating because some of it sounds like a New York accent. Some,
yeah,
Louisiana, like, accents, yeah.
Oh, what's his face? Mark Norman has a whole joke about that where he, because he's from the Lower Ninth Ward. Tremé. He's from Tremé. There we go.
Oh.
Around there. And like, he talks about that where he's like, people are surprised that I'm from Louisiana because he's like, I don't sound like it, and he was like, now people just think I'm Jewish.
It's, yeah, like, it's a weird accent. It's, it kind of sounds like New York.
It is really weird. I just think water boy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
perfect reference.
Perfect,
very millennial, yeah, reference.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm also obsessed with Louisiana gas stations. Rest stops. They are amazing. If ever you are driving through Louisiana and you see a sign for a rest stop, get out. Because even the like really basic ones, first of all, there's the famous one, but it had a tiger for a while,
mm-hmm,
and a camel.
Was it in Baton Rouge?
It was on the way to Baton Rouge.
Yep.
And the camel was famous because a man went in there and the camel sat on him and didn't see him. Yeah, and he had to escape by chewing on the camel's balls. And he was like,
He had to put the camel's balls
in
his mouth.
That's
there
what
was
happened.
No other way.
They came out and he had the camel's balls in his mouth. He was like, you don't understand. He sat on me.
I had to do it.
I had to.
There was, I remember reading in college, because LSU's mascot is the tiger.
Uh-huh.
And like, there was an article written that was like the history of the live tigers that have been kept on LSU's campus. And it is wild to read because it is like, this one was named like whatever, whatever, the third, because they just keep,
yeah,
recycling the name. And they're like, and he died 2 weeks after getting to campus.
Oh, God.
Then we got another tiger and he died 4 weeks after. And it's like,
oh,
y'all,
no,
are just
killing
tigers. And they're like, no, they're mascots. And it's like, no, you killed it.
Yeah.
They also built a lazy river my senior year.
That's,
there's a,
cool.
LSU has a lazy river that spells out LSU. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of the faculty were like, hey, we actually live in our cars.
Yeah. Oh no.
Yeah, LSU, yeah, sure. There were a lot of jokes they made about LSU, mainly because they were like, well, when your school's only draw is a football team, it turns out you don't put your money into academics, and you put a lot of money into making sure all the football players want to hang out at your vacation spot in the middle of nowhere.
Oh no.
Yeah.
This is, y'all will be very surprised to hear this. You mentioned tigers. I had a tiger.
What?
Excuse me?
Serious.
Wait, you had a like a pet tiger?
For
we
how
had
long?
Well, we had a lot of exotic animals. Yeah.
Fuck your type. I have so many questions.
My daddy decided not to pay any taxes and just spend all his money on exotic animals. Eventually, we went bankrupt. They were all taken, and he almost went to jail. But we did have a snow leopard, a clouded leopard, two zebras, three monkeys, a lion, a tiger, and a fox named Annabelle.
Did nothing else have a name?
No, they all had names. I just really liked Annabelle, the Fennec Fox.
I do too. Wait, I'm...
Oh, a Fennec Fox. Mm-hmm. Oh, with the big ears.
Yeah.
They're so cute.
She's so cute.
I had a regular... Okay.
You don't call your album Tiger Princess, I swear to God.
I was thinking about doing a one-woman show about it. And
yeah, you definitely
But I thought about
should.
Calling it Tiger Teen, but Tiger...
Tiger Princess is good. Tiger Teen, Exotic Josephine. I'm just spitballing here. I have so many questions. They're like backed up in my head. Like it's like a traffic jam, and none of them can get out.
How early did this start?
Yeah,
for you as a kid?
Give me the years.
So when I was 11,
so you were old enough to know that that was not normal.
Yes, but nothing in my house was normal.
Okay. So it wasn't like. It wasn't like out of the blue, as in like your very normal like accountant dad was like, tigers! You were like...
Before that, we bred and sold miniature horses and donkeys.
Allie, you're the most interesting person we've ever had on the podcast.
Handle it! There's a scream that wants to come out that can't because it's backlogged behind all the questions. Okay, I actually do, side note, I do a hilarious donkey impression that has come in so handy with my daughter. She loves it. Anyways.
Well, you know you have to do that now.
I actually can't because it will, it's so loud. It will mess up the microphone and upset your neighbors. It's like sound accurate and donkeys are loud, which you know.
It's sound accurate.
It is like volume accurate. It will literally piss off your neighbors. I can't do it. I'll do
Wait,
it.
Sound.
I'll do it during daylight sometime, right. But it's, yeah.
This is, okay.
Do it in daylight sometime.
So, wait, what, can you explain real quick? Give us an overview of your family. How many of there are you?
Yeah.
Well, my daddy, my mama, my bubs, which is my brother, and then I have another brother and another sister from my dad's first marriage.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm very close to them, and I have my niece and nephew from my oldest brother.
And were you all in this house?
I'm the baby.
Yeah. Were you all in the house together?
Well, we had a lot of different people live with us at different times.
But we had
like my crackhead cousin lived with us for a while.
Were you guys the family that took in? You were the section of the family.
Yes,
yeah.
They were the family that just took anything in.
Well,
how many?
We had a man that lived in our treehouse.
On purpose?
His name was Yes, it was a really nice treehouse. It had electricity and it had a air conditioner. And they didn't have nowhere to shower, but Larry told me he went to the horse stall.
Who's Larry?
The man who lived in the treehouse, obviously.
So Larry was a recovering crackhead that my dad had represented.
Your dad is a lawyer.
Yeah.
Okay. I was building a puzzle piece of your dad, and that piece has changed the shape of the puzzle. Okay, continue. Your dad, the lawyer, represented Larry, the
crackhead.
recovering crackhead in court.
Yes. And then I guess Larry got clean and started working for us. And like we had 25 acres, so mm-hmm. doing stuff around the farm. And then he basically became my nanny. Like, so Larry would take me to school every day. Larry would pick me up from school.
I love that.
I loved Larry and like all the kids. I went to learning disability school, so half day I was there, and then the other half of the day I was at regular school. But Larry would pick me up every day from learning disability school, and Larry is black, and everybody would call me Oreo. They'd be like, "You're," and like it's like white blonde hair,
right?
And they'd be like, "Allie, Oreo, your dad's here," and so southern, so horrible,
yeah.
But I told Larry that. And he started pulling up every day, blasting Bone Thugs and Harmony. Yes. And just screaming, "Where's my baby at? Where's my baby at?" I loved Larry. Larry was the shit.
No wonder you're so funny.
But he did end up buying crack with us in the car.
Oh.
Not cool, Larry.
What did you think was going on?
I just thought it was real. Like, we would go to, like, the hood.
Yeah.
And I just thought his friends were really cool. They typically would give me lollipops.
I lived in what turned out to be a crack house. should I say, a crack home. It was an apartment complex.
A crack home?
Yeah, it was a crack home. And my dad did not do crack. He did other drugs, but he did not do crack. And he didn't move in because he did drugs. Those were like two unrelated parts of his life. He moved in because he was poor because he did drugs and needed like a cheap place to live. And so we lived in this apartment building where, yeah, it ended up burning down on Christmas Day. yeah, because someone messed up their Christmas lights, but like, we don't really think that's what happened.
I lived in a house with my family and we went to public school. I don't know what the fuck any of you guys are talking about.
But the thing was yeah, a lot of lollipops, a lot of like, and there was a couple, the man sold and the woman also sold herself. They were like so lovely and they were so strict. Like if you broke a rule, you did not want them to see it because they would be like, I will call your mother. And you'd be like, I do not want Jessa to call my mother. I do not want that. I will behave. Like everyone was on their best behavior all around the neighborhood because they were the enforcement.
Okay. So we have to,
we have to get to the point of the podcast.
What was the first exotic pet at 11?
A capuchin monkey named Clayton, and my last name's Clayton, and he was named when we got him Monkey Fate.
Wow. Clayton. Yeah. Clayton the monkey.
And
Clayton Esquire.
How big was this monkey?
Capuchins are small. Oh, okay, so
but he was bitty baby when we got him.
Okay, so this was not like a face snatch monkey.
What does that mean?
A chimpanzee.
Like, there are monkeys that
chimp.
Can
No.
That's a chimpanzee. That
yeah, no.
There, it's not just a chimpanzee.
Ooh.
An orangutan can fuck you up, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, larger ape.
Yeah, anything that's, like, the size of a child.
People don't know what chimps look like, because in the movies, it's always babies. Chimps are bigger than, average bigger than humans.
They're just, like...
It's just how they stand, yeah.
But even when they don't, like, they're big. Like, they're big. Really, really,
they
yeah.
just have bad posture.
That's some yeah. good quad strength, bud.
Oh, I know it. That's the only strength I have. Not mental, not emotional, certainly, not upper body.
Okay, capuchin monkey. All right, I think I have a way to even tie this into the type of the podcast.
So intrigued.
I'm going to see how this goes. Here we go. All right, so you got the capuchin monkey when you were 11 years old. Was it to become an exotic animal farm, or was it just for funsies? Was it like a pet?
Well,
is there so much backstory here? I'm so excited.
My bubs had this thing called the Exotic Animal Finder's Guide. And my bubs was obsessed with monkeys. And okay. He is now a monkey doctor. He is now a primatologist.
Okay.
Pretty crazy, but
I think that's kind of the best case scenario from a boy being obsessed with monkeys who then had a monkey and yeah. also knew a bunch of meth heads.
Crackheads.
Sorry.
I mean, we probably knew both.
yeah, I'm so thrilled for everyone involved in this story.
Okay,
where was I at? So Bubs had Exotic Finder's Guide, and he would call these like grown men at like 13, 14 years old and talked to them for hours about exotic animals. And he found this guy, Dean, in Tennessee. And so we drove to Tennessee. You pull up and it just looks like a regular little trailer. And then in the back, it's like monkey paradise. Dean, we thought we were going to build a zoo with Dean, was our plan at our house. We were going to, my dad wanted to like start a little family zoo or something. But
the
Dean,
South is a different country. I'm sorry.
And your dad is not Matt Damon in We Bought a Zoo.
No.
He didn't want to buy a zoo. He wanted to build a zoo.
He wanted to make his own zoo.
I haven't seen that movie.
Real quick follow-up question there. When your brother at age 13 was spending hours on the phone with grown men talking about chimps and all of their wonder, where were your parents and what did they think of that?
They were most likely drunk.
Drunk and or supportive.
You don't know. You don't get sad about the drinking when you get a monkey.
No, I was going to.
You know, again,
all of them.
It's like, you pay no attention to me, but you gave me a monkey, so I'm cool.
Right. Unfortunately, my parents were bone dry and attentive, so we couldn't have gotten away with that kind of shit.
Oh, yeah.
Well, but they did drive. They drove him far and wanted to start it. They were supportive of this.
I mean, eventually we went to Kansas to get a snow leopard.
Okay. So your dad was like, my son is super into monkeys. I'm going to build a zoo.
I'm going to build a zoo. And we met this man named Dean. and we got a couple of different animals from Dean. And then Dean was at our house one night, and he ended up taking like $10,000 off us and just left Annabelle, the fennec fox. One day we woke up, we said, "Where's Dean?" Dean was gone. We've never seen him since.
Did that
much cash and a fox?
If he didn't scoop he took the fox?
No, he left the fox.
I was going to say, he left the fox. I was going to say, if he didn't take the money, I would have assumed that he transformed somehow. And Dean was, in fact, Annabelle. Yeah. Like, Dean.
Oh, so he was like, "Here, this family gets a fox for $10,000.
We found out like a little bit later he got raided. Because you're not really supposed to have exotic animals, guys.
Yeah, I know. My childhood friend's dad, who was not around and not present in her life, but he was like an exotic animal guy, and he would like roll into town every couple years and be like, "Hey, baby, I have a tiger," and she'd be like, "Okay, I would love a dad, though," and he'd be like, "Best I can do is a picture with the tiger." Like, and there is in fact a picture of us together on a tiger once. I got to meet the tiger. It was honestly awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You were on a
I was on a tiger.
Was it
I remember, you know, huh?
Was it like Trent?
No. Our mate maybe it was a little, but it was awake. I remember the biggest thing I remember was looking up at its face and him being like, "Don't squeeze his face," but I was like, "I just want," because it was so big.
Yeah.
You know, their cheeks are like huge. I was like, "That's like a 10 and I was so little, and I was like,
the closest interaction I've ever had with a tiger is I went to like a wildlife preserve that was run by people who should be running it. And they brought us to like the room where they feed the tiger through the bars. And it was like us and a whole little group. And there was a newly married couple. And the second the tiger walked into like the part behind bars, just like rears up, slams its claws into the like bars and is like snarling and like right at this dude. And him and his wife are like backing up and they're like, "What the fuck is happening?" And they're like, "How old are you?" And he was like 26. And they're like, "So tigers can actually smell testosterone and he does not like you."
Yeah.
And it was just like,
get out.
So they were like, "So what do we do?" And they were like, "Well, we're not going to open the door." And so we were just like, "Oh, straight up, like a tiger will just maul an adult man." And he's like, "The male ones. Yeah." And it's like, cool, cool, cool. So as an adult man, do not want to meet a or be on top of a tiger. So sorry.
Would not recommend.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it was like safe, but it was awesome.
Right. And then,
no.
So got the first one at 11. How long was it before the pets were gone?
When I was 21.
Okay. Okay. Here's how I'm going to. So 11 is a very formative age.
Yes.
Which animal do you most want to fuck? I'm kidding.
but like, okay, that's like a formative age when you're like, when was your first crush that you remember?
Third grade.
Third Ooh. Grade. Okay. Who was it?
Aiden Van Noppen.
What
are you talking about?
Who's Aiden Van Noppen?
That was my first crush. She was in third grade with me.
Oh, she was a person in third grade with you. Yeah. Okay, 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 okay.
Was she a Dutch expat? Like, what's going on, Allie? Every part of your story comes from a different part of the world.
It's so true. Literally, I mean, especially when you break down the geography of the animals. Like, that's really... But, okay, what'd she look like?
Okay, so...
Well, she was 8.
Totally flat.
Lame.
She had like a little bob. She was so cool. She was Jewish and a vegetarian. I know the last name is Van Noppen. I think the mom was Jewish. The dad was not. And
Van Noppen could be Jewish.
Yeah. It's
rare in the Netherlands, but go on.
That's true.
But I just thought she was just the coolest person in the whole world. Like, I remember one time we went to this thing where you got to either be, this is so horrible, but Please. You either had to be a Native American or a pilgrim.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Aiden was a pilgrim, and I was like, if I'm not a pilgrim, I'm going to die. And they made me be a Native American, and I just had to sit in this teepee all day with these fish and gut these fish, and I was very upset about it. And then they said...
Every time you start a sentence, I think I know. And I don't. And I don't.
And I was so upset that when we had to choose our Native American names, everybody was like, my name's Flying Hawk, and my name's this. And they got to me, and I said, everybody can call me Miserable Stick.
At 8, you said that?
They took me away from Aiden Van Noppen, and I was very upset.
Because you were miserable. I was miserable.
I was a miserable stick.
That is amazing. Okay, so third grade's your first crush.
Mm-hmm.
And you're 11, your family starts to get animals. Like, I just feel like, I don't know, how do you think that that shaped your outlook? Like, you're an impressionable youth. I don't know.
Surrounded by tigers.
Like, you're a teen. Okay, so then maybe let's say you're a little bit older. You're a teenager. You're trying to date. You are full lesbian, yes? All the way?
I'm all the way lesbian. I didn't know that.
Right.
As
at what point did you, because it took me till my senior year of high school to be like, oh.
No, I didn't come out. I think, well, I didn't kiss a woman for my first time until I was 23.
But did you not have like an internal moment?
Oh, where, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's, yeah. I didn't
when did you have your internal moment?
I mean, I don't know crush, that I grade. Like was like, oh, I'm gay, but I remember I used to have. This is so embarrassing.
No.
I used to like me and my cousin would tickle each other's backs, and I would just constantly have these thoughts like about like I wish she would kiss me.
This is the most country come out I've ever heard.
I'm telling you, I didn't fuck my cousin, y'all. Good. I didn't fuck my cousin, but yeah. I had a little bit of a crush on my cousin.
And, that's fair. I have a hot cousin.
That would happen a lot in high school when, like, I would spend the night with girls. I would just be like, just lay there and just be like, what if they kissed me? And then I realized nobody, the other people weren't thinking that.
See, my internal moment was driving around, like, it was, I think it was the summer after I graduated college or high school, but, like, the album Heartthrob by Tegan and Sarah had come out.
Okay.
And I was listening to that like nonstop. And then like listening to that in my car alone, I was like, I don't think this is what straight guys are doing actually.
So it does make you gay, Tegan and Sarah.
Oh, it sure does. Did you see the little thing with them and JoJo Siwa?
Oh my gosh. Is it not so funny?
What happened?
So JoJo, you've probably seen the JoJo Siwa interview where she was like, I want to start a new genre called gay pop. And like, it was on a red carpet. She was like excited.
She's so young.
She's like 19.
Yeah.
She makes children's music. Like we're judging her a little
harshly. Well, not now.
Not now.
Not now, Tyler.
Yeah.
Tweens are children.
I know. She is. She's totally a child. Tweens.
But like, and so the video went super viral, and then there was a version of the video where she was like, I want to invent this genre called gay pop, and then hard cut, and it's just Tegan and Sarah like, looking what? Into their phone, like, they're actually of, like, still touring and performing and living bands. They are, like, top five for me. Like, they have always been huge for me. I've always had very sapphic taste in music.
I will admit, and I know it's... I'm a lesbian, but I've never been that into Tegan and Sarah.
Have you given them a chance?
No, I don't feel like I have.
Okay.
They are really,
I've just
honestly,
been really busy listening to 90s country.
Okay.
For then, my whole life.
You have a... Okay. I was new wave 80s and like 70s and 60s and like grungy. So they were right in line, and then they made an 80s like synth pop album, and I was like... My girls are here for me. And then I was like, wait. I'm too here for my girls.
My girls are here for me, and I don't want to fuck them, so.
I actually have a very good friend who is straight, and, like, we were talking about crushes, like, in college before I was out, and he was like, yeah, he was like, my taste has never really worked in my favor. And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, I've had a huge crush on both Tegan and Sarah for the longest time.
They're hot.
They are.
Yeah, they're so
hot. But, like,
hot.
I think they are predominantly hot to women because of how they present. Like, the Heartthrob era, they were going for that, like, 80s, like, kind of masculine, like, energy with that, like, bright makeup, bright clothes.
Yeah.
Like, the hair was crazy. It was great.
Yeah, like, Annie Lennox, like, that's all I have.
The Heartthrob, like, album cover, I'll pull it up later, but, like, they look amazing on it. Like, they both look like, they look somewhere in between like LaRue and David Bowie.
Oh, I've seen this. I've seen it. Yeah.
And Tegan's hair, it's my favorite hair Tegan's ever had. So since we are talking about it, and you did say Tegan and Sarah are hot, we finally have a segue.
I think we're ready to ask.
we're moving out of the jungle.
Longest
and into the...
intro ever.
Absolutely.
And I feel really good about it. And I still have more questions, but I'm going to, well, you know what? Let's do it.
So
let's
Allie,
ask.
What would you say your type is?
Women.
Okay. Nailed it.
End of podcast.
Cut.
You know, I wouldn't say that because I've dated like really over the spectrum. Like I had two people that I dated pretty seriously that have now transitioned. Ooh. But I've also dated very femme.
Mm-hmm.
When you're like, do you use swipey apps? Are you Tinder, Hinge at all?
I've tried.
Not for you.
One, I can't really date right now because it's expensive. I started mm-hmm. going on dates and I was like, this is so expensive. So yeah, that and just, I've never dated sober in my life.
Oh.
So since my ex and I broke up, I've been like, it's scary. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's scary. And like yeah. the idea of being intimate with somebody.
Yeah. You're kind of exploring what your type is.
Yeah.
Which is scary, but also exciting.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, my ex was pretty fun, but also had like could have some mass swag at times. Mm-hmm.
So here, this might help us. So say you are on a swipey app. Like, mm-hmm. let's play that game. Who would play the girl you swipe right on?
I feel like it's... who would play the girl I swipe
yeah,
right
yeah.
on?
Play her.
Oh, there's a lot.
There was a list, right?
I have a list. Fletcher.
Okay.
Bit obsessed with Fletcher.
I'm going to pull up a photo just so we can all look so at hot. Her together. Because I've only heard Fletcher's music. I don't really know what she looks like.
Okay.
Keep talking.
Ridiculously hot.
Oh my God.
Right?
See.
Right? I mean, holy shit.
Allie, you're...
Right? Whoa. Like, I'm trying to tell you, it. Like, it's an in-between. Like,
I see. Okay.
She's so hot.
So hot.
Okay.
But, like, I love a woman in a tux.
Say, okay.
Were you ever big into Janelle Monáe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Janelle Monáe's
okay, so
so
actually,
hot.
I think we are starting to, because that thing you said of, like, a masculine swagger
yeah.
to a femme-presenting person.
Yeah.
Do you also find Kaia Gerber super hot? I feel like that's kind of a cop-out because she's so hot.
I can't.
You watch Bottoms?
Yes.
She's the hot, mean cheerleader, not the, like, one that Io is interested in, but the one that Rachel Seno is interested in.
Is this who?
Cindy Crawford's daughter.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
And
yeah.
she
so
wears
cute.
A... She wears a men's suit a lot.
Yeah.
And, like, mm-hmm. has a very, like,
in real life, yeah, she does.
And has
yeah.
a very, like, confident, like, laid back energy.
What about, like,
love that.
Cara Delevingne?
What did my face just do?
Your eyebrows went up twice. And you were like, tell me more. Tell me more about this hot, rich Nepo baby.
Yeah. What about, like, Cara Delevingne?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I assume Kristen Stewart is also on that list.
I do find Kristen Stewart hot.
Ooh.
But I also find her a little annoying.
Me too.
I feel like she is, of queer women in pop culture, she is probably the only one who risks oversaturation.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, with, I mean, there's probably gay men who are in the same category where it's like, I'm sure they're perfectly nice and they're, like, in everything, but it's like, oh my God. Like,
yeah.
There comes a point where a person just, like, pops up so many times and you're like, we get it.
I get it.
You're so hot and you're so talented and you're so cool and you probably have sex with a bunch of celebrities. And it's like, yeah. great for you. Like,
yeah.
is that a little bit of it perhaps? Because I feel like with your type, Kristen Stewart's pretty,
yeah.
pretty in there.
Yeah. No, I do find her to be very hot. What is the actress that's in that new movie with her? Because, wow.
Oh,
the buff one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
You know what's interesting? I'm set like a theme that I'm noticing between all these people is that, like, it's like, okay, Kristen Stewart is butch, but femme, but at her core, she's like kind of angular and hard. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And the people that I'm sensing that you're attracted to, like, at their core, kind of soft. Like, they're butch and maybe they're really strong, but like, there's like a roundness to the features. Mm-hmm. Also, how do you feel about hair? Long hair, short hair? Do you have a preference? Just because Fletcher has amazing hair.
Fletcher has amazing hair.
I was like, I want that. That's beautiful.
But like, I also find Mae Martin really hot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't.
So the hair is not the thing that matters.
No.
I'm just trying to hone in on the, like,
commonalities. I'm not big on armpit hair.
Okay. Okay.
That so you are going to be dating pretty much exclusively in Manhattan.
I mean, maybe I'd be okay with it now. I remember I dated this girl for a while, and I hadn't dated that many girls, and we got home and we were hooking up, and I didn't expect all the hair, and it was a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Any preference?
The Bush administration.
Exactly.
exactly. Exactly.
Any thoughts on the Bush administration versus Barack Obama? See, because it's Bear. Okay. I'm going to high five myself.
Okay. 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 Sarah.
I mean, I'm pro pubic hair. I just need to be able to breathe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about some because
But I love titters.
Okay. Oh, big boobs.
Big.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
What? Emma Willman always makes the joke of like, in my relationship, I'm the man one, and
yeah,
obviously her joke is explaining like that's not actually how it works.
Yeah.
What role do you feel like you play in... Because I'm getting the sense that you're kind of a relationship girl. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
How would you describe the role you like to play in a relationship?
Great question. Mother.
I know. Interesting. You're the youngest sibling.
I am, but
you
play
mother.
I'm such a caretaker.
Oh.
Like, I love to, like, cook and like serve you. I love to buy presents. I love to come home with some flowers.
Wow.
Like,
okay, but that's also kind of like chivalrous, like coming home with flowers, presents.
I mean, Allie, you kind of sound like an amazing girlfriend.
You kind of sound like an amazing girlfriend.
Pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if anyone's out there, also like you, I know you said dating is expensive.
DMs are open.
Okay, that was my question.
DMs are open. Okay. Because, you know, you want to process, you want to go through the things, feel the feelings, but your DMs are open. Good, good, good.
DMs
good.
Are open. So, yes.
Fantastic. Well,
and because you've talked about reply guys.
Mm-hmm.
I have reply guys.
Mm-hmm.
My reply guys are obviously gay.
What's a reply guy?
It's a guy who replies to like everything.
Everything.
You post.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
And it's, like, super.
Yeah. And I love mine. They truly buoy me through the low self-esteem times.
So
I would be nowhere without them.
I don't know how like weird queer women get on the internet because they've never
weird. They get weird.
They've never. So that's the thing.
I also have reply girls, and they get weird.
Yeah.
I have such a luxury with like queer and straight women where like they are just endlessly supportive of me because they're like a funny little gay guy that's so fun for us. Like I had one gay male friend in college, maybe like two, but aside from that I had this like huge group of queer women. Some have transitioned also. They're all like bi, gay, like something, and like that was kind of my introduction to the gay community. So like I have always done very well with the lesbians and the bisexuals, and like that's where I feel like safe and at home versus
yeah.
with gay men. So like before someone starts sliding into your DMs,
mm-hmm.
what are maybe some things that like need to be on that checklist for you
okay.
to be like, yes, this is a good idea for you to DM me?
And can I amend that question?
Yeah.
As you are thinking of your answers, one thing I like to do when I'm thinking, like, is it your higher self or your lower self that's answering? Like, is it your mind or your vagina that is
I was
answering?
Going to clarify for listeners. Sarah pointed at
I
her
did.
Head for higher self and just
and vagina. Well, because there's things that have to be there for me, but it's maybe not the best, but they just have to be there.
Yeah.
And I think it's
and then there's
fair
things
to
heart.
Have a mix of the two. Because
yeah.
I am a strong believer that, like, if you're not attracted to someone and you start dating them, that's crazy. Like, that's so bonkers to me to be like, have you ever heard of straight guy's wedding vows when he was like, the first time we met, didn't like her at all. And I didn't think she was that pretty. And I'm like, what's happening then? Like, also, why did you just tell her dad that? Like, that's so weird. But yeah, what's on the checklist? Physical, personality, like, what are the things that
in their life, like,
should be able to confidently be like, I am these things before they hit your DMs because you deserve to be selective.
Thank you, Tyler. Well, I do want to say that some of the women that I said before that I do like curves, and some of the people I said before aren't necessarily curvy. Yeah, I like it all, but not a heavy drinker. I don't mind if you do drink. It's I do not. I'm an alcoholic, so it's hard for me to be around somebody that just wants to like party all the time.
Yeah.
I smoke weed. You got to be cool with that. I let's see, what else do I want in a person? Kindness. I really want kindness. Yeah, I've been why is that so hard for some people? But
great question.
Just to be kind, you have to be accepting of Bradley. I don't know. So Bradley is an adult with autism that I took care of in Chicago for 8 years, and I am now one of his legal guardians.
Oh.
I go back to see him about every 3 months.
So you're really a caretaker.
I'm really a caretaker. So you have to love Bradley. And there's been people that I've dated that like I could just tell it's not that they were just uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like if you're uncomfortable around people with developmental disabilities, like you're just not for me, because I do a lot of work and autism awareness and stuff.
Yeah. So at the very least, open to learning more and figuring out how. Yeah. Okay.
Do parents love you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, they must. Yeah.
Like you, everything you are describing. I'll say the one thing that you've said so far that a parent might be like a little like, but again, you nipped it in the bud, is like when you're like, I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah.
That's literally the only thing that you've said this whole time where like even a slight brow raise, but to also be like, and I've been sober since a breakup because I realized it was a really big problem. And like,
oh no, I got sober when we were together.
Oh,
you just haven't been on that. You haven't been dating.
So she's the only person I've ever had sex with sober.
Okay.
So I haven't like, and like she would say like, oh my God, like when we met, you were so smooth. I was like, I was so drunk. I have no idea what I said to you.
Yeah. So glad it worked, but so could, not, could never replicate.
Yeah. No idea.
Yeah.
It's really just the liquid courage.
So you're okay. You're talking about some great things. I think these are all good, but to get to the dirtier side of this, are there any red flags in people that you find yourself attracted to kind of over and over again as a pattern?
Good question.
Because of your caretaker nature, I can see certain things being an issue with that, that you might go for. That is fair to say.
I tend to forget myself and just want to take care of the other person all the time and like make sure that they're always okay. And then it's like, oh, you haven't done anything for yourself in a very long time. So I would say that that's probably.
Dependence, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, yeah, people who maybe have a lot of need in whatever form that takes, maybe.
Yeah.
Whether they just like, yeah, they need a lot of whatever. Yeah. That can look a lot of different ways.
Yeah. When I broke up with my ex, I mean, one thing she said was, she was like, I have to learn how to take care of myself. You've been taking care of me. Like, and I'm like, oh yeah, I guess I do do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you want to know sex wise what I'm looking for?
Oh, we can absolutely get into that.
Yeah.
I asked the question I asked, which was like, what are the red flags? Cause like,
oh, okay.
Unfortunately, what you are describing, I, in my most cynical sense, I can see someone taking advantage of it, perhaps a little bit.
Yeah.
And sometimes I have other friends who are very nurturing, and like the people they tend to go for sometimes have this commonality of like, oh, this is someone who needs to be nurtured despite being an adult, full grown person.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know if I would say that I'm nurturing.
I think you're nurturing.
Okay, great. That's good to know, because I don't think it. Because again, I'm dealing with men, so it's a little different. When I don't feel like an adult man can take care of himself, and like that can be as like low of a bar to clear as like, what do you mean you can't cook? Yeah. I'm just like, what's going on here? I thought I was dating a grown up. Like, what are we doing? So like,
I would love for someone that like surprised me every now and then, like would give me a flower or something. Mm. I would like for someone to give me a flower.
I would like that too.
If one of you fucking lesbians swear to better slide fuck. Into Allie's DMs, and flowers in hand, and be like, and hey.
Yeah. But are there red flags that you find yourself attracted to? Like, even if it's just like, I don't know, undue confidence or something.
Yeah. I dated somebody at one point in time that would say bullying was their love language. And so I just kind of would be like, oh, okay, well, that's just, they're just mean to show me they love me.
Right.
So I am, I will easily let somebody treat me like shit.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's a problem.
Well, it turns out we have something in common.
Yeah. Right?
Yep. We're not going to get into
it. And then
it.
I'm yeah. like, maybe if I change this about me, then. Yep. But yeah.
Yep,
no.
I know that feeling. That's cool.
Yeah. Should we play red flag, green flag?
Well, before we get into it,
okay.
I do want to ask. Hmm. Well, we have a couple of questions before red flag, green flag. I think.
Okay.
What do you think are for you, for other people perceiving you? What are your biggest red and green flags?
Hmm. My family? Red flag.
Cool. Even what Bubs?
Oh.
Wait, even the monkey doctor?
No, Bubs is great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bubs
also,
is
what
wonderful.
Because I have a family member whose name was actually Bubba. What's Bubs' name?
Jonathan Brent.
Oh, okay. You just call him Bubs.
I just call him Bubs. Oh, I know quite a few Bubbas. There's one guy named Bubba, and my mama asked him one day in the kitchen, she was like, Bubba, son, what is your real name? And he said, Herbert Earl, ma'am. And Herbert Earl, ma'am. And she said, damn, I go by Bubba, too.
That is beautiful. Herbert Earl, ma'am. Oh.
I go by Bubba, too. That's so, wow. Was he just, like, silent after
yeah,
that?
Yeah, he was just like, yeah.
Okay, so family's red flag number one.
Yeah. Family. I tend to do for others, like, a lot. Like, I have a really hard time saying no to stuff. Okay. So I think sometimes in...
Like doing a podcast after having a really busy day?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Thank you so much for being here.
I'm so happy to be here. I have no problem with it. Yeah, so that's definitely one for me. Yeah, I tend to let people kind of walk over me and not have very much confidence. Like, I always just kind of feel like, oh, somebody likes me. I can't believe it. Like, it's like kind of like always how I feel.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
So yeah, my confidence levels, probably a mental health stuff is a little bit of a red flag.
All right, that's enough red flags. Let's say some
that's red enough flags. Red flags. Yeah. Okay.
we got some
mental health things
with comics, especially. I feel because everyone so far has been like, "Oh, I'll start with red flags. That's so easy." And then they'll talk, and it's like, hey, we actually have to not just make you sound awful. Can you say some nice things about yourself?
But also, because comics, we're also self-aware. We've all, like, everyone we've had has just been like, we've been like, okay,
right,
that's enough.
We're basically unpacking, like, material and being like, well, this, which is why I have a joke about it, and this. Which,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, I think you've given a great one with nurturing and, like, mm-hmm. kind. I mean, you've listed quite a lot of green flags in yourself
Thank
already.
Gives presents.
Very funny too.
Also, I feel like your on stage presence is so, it feels like it's grounded in confidence, and I think that's so beautiful. Like, because
I feel at home on stage.
Yeah. And it comes across so much because you feel, I always say, like, comedians have to keep one foot in, like, I'm okay, and that lets them talk about all the dark stuff. And I think you do, like, you balance that so well. Like, of like, yeah, I'm going to talk about, like, mental health issues. I'm going to talk about my family. But you seem grounded and at home. And, like, I guess grounded and at home is a better phrase for it than confidence. But I think that, like, you translate that so beautifully. So I am surprised to hear that you're not confident, honestly. Like, and so, yeah.
There's a difference in, like, because what I interpreted what you said, there's a difference in general confidence, which I think you overwhelmingly have, versus the confidence of,
I don't,
like,
have, like, a lot of physical confidence.
And, like, in a relationship, too.
Right.
It's also, yeah.
The thing you were saying of, like, when someone's into me, I'm like,
yeah,
what's wrong with you? Like, that's kind of always the first thought. And, like, that's...
I never know when somebody's flirting with me.
Oh, my God,
I have
me neither.
No idea.
It's... Oh.
You too?
I once had... He was a guy I was, like, friendly with. He was a bartender at a gay bar. And he was this really hot, really nice guy. And I go over, get drinks for me and, like, one of my friends. And when he's giving them to me, he was like, oh, it's on me. Don't worry about it. I was like, oh, that's so nice. And he just, like... in a full bar is just like, you know, you should really learn how to bottom at some point because then we'd be sexually compatible. And I laughed, took the drinks and walked back to my friends and was like, guys, the bartender just said the funniest thing to me. And all of my friends are like looked at him and then looked back and were like, I don't think he was telling a funny little joke. I think the bartender just said out loud to a group of people, hey, I'd fuck you. And I was like, no, can't be.
No.
I had a woman buy me a shot, write her phone number on a piece of paper and wrap it around. I got the shot, took the paper, and I was like, oh, someone left their number. Somebody, this piece of paper. And I just, like, put it down. And she was like, yeah, you saw a piece of paper with a phone number on it? And I was like, yeah, I don't know what that was. She was like, that was my number. I was trying to be cool. That's my number. I want to give you my number. And I was like, oh. And she was like, yeah, for sex, you idiot. Like,
did you do sex?
No, we didn't do sex.
No. She was like, you're too
And minimal. Honestly, I'm bummed at it because she was like beautiful and she was my type in a lot of ways. She had an unstable vibe in a way that I was like, that is hot, mm-hmm. but it freaks me out a little bit. And I was too stressed. But I talked myself.
You love the unstable vibe.
I know.
Of men,
I know.
But not women.
No, and I think I did like it. I just got too anxious and freaked out. I absolutely stereotypical bi girl and just like bisexual. Bi girl myself. It was so embarrassing though, and I think about it a lot.
But yeah, sorry to come back to the question.
Anyway, sorry.
Give us some green flags.
Green flags.
Some green flags. I have great tits.
Yeah.
I have really great tits. Also relatively even labia. This is what you were looking for, right?
This is so funny. I don't think we were like
she's
Allie's
a giver. She's
awesome.
Gives present.
And you're like, yeah, you guys are saying lame shit. Look at these.
Look at these. Look at these torpedoes. I mean, fair. Okay. Great tits.
Great tits. Yeah, I'm nice. I'm a really good cook.
Ooh.
What
do you like to cook?
What's your signature?
Ooh.
Lately, I make these Japanese meatballs. One of the ladies I work for gave me this recipe, and I get this Kewpie sesame sauce.
Ooh.
That I put them in. They're actually like really healthy and have like a lot of chia in them and turkey and kale, but they're so delicious. So I've been making those a lot, but also like my granny's barbecue chicken I make.
Amazing.
I can make a mean casserole, broccoli casserole.
I should make a broccoli casserole this week. I have a ton of broccoli.
Oh my God, this is so funny. So I was in North Carolina and I was like, I'm going to make my aunt's broccoli casserole for Christmas. So I need to get some Cheese Whiz. I got Cheese Whiz. Left it in my car on accident. My car gets broken into about 3 times a year. It's a 2005 Dodge Caravan. There's nothing in there. Every time they break into it, I can tell they've just gone through stuff and then they leave it. They're like, actually, we're good.
That is hilarious. And I was going to say, honestly, the fact that your car gets broken into 3 times a year, a slight red flag, but a hilarious one.
Reinforce the windows at that point. I don't know.
Like, it's such a piece of shit. I'm not paying to do any of that. But... also, somebody broke into my car and stole my Cheese Whiz. I couldn't make my fucking broccoli casserole. I was so mad.
That's a fucking hate crime.
I was like, what? You don't want my car, but you took my Cheese Whiz?
It's a damn civil war.
It doesn't. The series of events you've laid out on this podcast do not make sense with you sitting on this couch today. Like, how did you get here, dude?
I drove my 2005 Dodge Caravan.
I swear to God, if you leave my apartment and you find that someone had broken into your car, I don't know what we're gonna do.
Oh, I'm grabbing my chopper.
True. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Great. Great. Green flag can cook broccoli. Okay. Very on brand. Give us one more.
One more green flag. I'm like, I like to cure people. Oh, I already said that one.
I would say you're putting in work to take care of yourself.
You're yeah. one of those people who's like, I'm doing the work. You're doing the work.
You want to be and better version of mm-hmm. yourself, which I think is like kind of the biggest. It was really interesting. Sarah missed our last episode because she had to go look at the sun.
and the moon.
Yeah. We had Brendan Sagalow on, and he said, and this was, you know, a straight guy, and like mm-hmm. when I asked him this question about like what's the biggest green flag you look for, and he was like, you gotta be working on being something more than you are, and
you
like,
gotta have goals, right? That I want somebody with yes. goals. That's mm-hmm. true.
Yeah. And we joked around about what straight guys would say on this podcast, and he delivered. He was like, big boobs, and he's like, now I want that someone who's like working on themselves, and like,
I appreciate
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's great. There's a question Sarah always asks, and I'm very curious to hear your
response. I'm very curious. That's true. Okay.
All right. So,
it's a two-parter. First of all,
do you distinguish between finding someone attractive, as in, like, feeling it in your body, where you're like, yeah, they'd have to talk me out of smashing. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, baseline would hit.
Mm-hmm. And being like, that person is attractive. Like, I can appreciate the attractiveness, not for me. Are those mm-hmm. are those two different things for you?
Yeah. Okay. Like, I can acknowledge if somebody's like hot, but then it may not be.
Someone can be hot without being your type. That's how I feel about like Jacob Elordi, where I'm like, that's a tall boy. I'm not that mm-hmm. into it, but like I can conceive like. I hate the people who online, they like hear someone say, I think someone's hot, and they're like, you can find 85 of those at a truck stop in city in America. And it's like, one, no, you can't. Two, like, it's okay if you're not attracted to someone. Calm the fuck down.
Yeah.
So, and then the second part.
Okay, the second part of this question is, how often do you see someone out in the world, real world, mm-hmm. that you are attracted to?
I would say pretty frequently.
Really? Okay. Yeah. My fucking dude.
Yeah, you guys are. I'm very rare. Very rarely out in the
wild. There were some lesbos in the front row last night that were real cute.
Yeah, they were cute.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Allie was on our show last night. We're recording this on a Monday. We mm-hmm. had our show on a Sunday. It was wonderful. Mm-hmm. Thank you for coming.
Too. Yes.
Thank you for having me. That's true. One of the, and the judo lady I found very attractive.
Interesting.
But only once I talked to her.
Because she could kill you.
Because she could kill me. Yeah. But only once I talked to her. If I just saw her walking, I don't know if I would necessarily. Yeah. I might. She's pretty classic. My
so
type.
How many in a given situation mm-hmm. are we saying every day you find someone attractive, a few times a week? A few times a week. Okay.
Okay.
Because yeah. I texted another gay comic who we will have on this show at one point. I explained this question.
Yeah.
And he just laughed. He was mm-hmm. like, that's hilarious. He was like, obviously the answer is every day, multiple times a day.
See,
and
I was like,
I think there are just certain divisions that they're... Can I ask a bedroom question?
Yeah.
Are you more of a top or a bottom, would you say?
I would say... switch.
Great. Mm-hmm.
But
Allie, you're a dream girl.
But wow. a little bit leaning a little bit more towards bottom.
Okay.
Like this. On a spectrum, like switch, but just like slightly.
No, verse bottoms are mm-hmm. prevalent, especially in this neighborhood. there are many around. And then I completely blanked out the question I was gonna ask.
I don't know. Yeah, it's definitely a spectrum. Some people are every day. For me, it's like twice a year. And I think, I don't know. And it always has been. Like, even, yeah, because someone was like, oh, that's because, you know, you're getting older. And I was like, nah. But if I talk to someone and I vibe with them, I can then be attracted.
Like, me too. Yeah. That's how I am. It's like I can meet someone and like have no like attraction.
Yeah.
And then get to know them really well and be like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I'm in love.
Yeah. Or I might like see someone where I'm like, maybe there might be. And then they open their mouth and I'm like, nope, shut it down. Absolutely.
I think women
not.
Are better than men. I'm just going to put that out there based on everything you're saying right now. I think women are kinder and more interested in people as a concept and just better, because
you know,
my God, am I shallow by this metric? I mean, goodness great. I went off earlier about how I'm like, what do you mean you didn't find someone attractive right away? Like,
check this out. I'd be happy to date somebody that's got a kid.
That's not crazy.
That's not crazy. Yeah.
I mean, especially considering you've said,
I thought you were about
mommy.
To say your age.
Especially
no. considering your age. Like,
oh, and do you skew older or younger with your attraction?
I don't want to be with anybody that's like probably under 33. I'm 37. Okay. Yeah, I just ain't got time.
Yeah.
I ain't got time for the bullshit.
Yeah.
This was a question I was going to ask earlier before we were recording, but we were talking a little bit about musicians. We were talking about Fletcher. Mm-hmm. We were also talking about Renee Rapp.
Who I also
so hot.
Oh yeah.
Chapel Roan so is also having a moment, if you're familiar.
No.
The Rise and the Fall of a Midwest Princess. She just performed Coachella, her new single for her new like era. I love that eras are now a thing that pop people do.
Yeah.
She's about to have her first like debut on the Hot 100 Billboard. Oh. It's probably gonna be around 70. Like, good luck, babe. And there are a lot of these musicians that it's very I'll play it for you after the podcast.
Okay.
The song is about we've made out and hooked up a bunch, and you're telling me we're calling it quits because you're not actually gay. And so the song is called Good Luck, Babe, because the whole sentiment is like, cool. Good luck with that.
Good
luck. Let's talk more in a few years and see how that's going. So, and with Chapel and with Renee, how does Fletcher identify? Do you know?
Gay. Like, lesbian.
Okay. So both Chapel Roan and Renee Rapp in the last year have been like, we've been saying pretty publicly we're bi, we're a little older, a little wiser now, we're full-blown lesbians.
Happened to me too. Happened, you know?
With that shit, because that feels kind of like a shift with like, I think there are more people identifying as like lesbians and being like more openly and like very vocally proud of it. Like,
yeah.
Being very like, no, like, it's way more fun for us being, like, just full-blown queer women and, like, celebrating that as opposed to being like, oh, I don't know, I still like boys. Like, and not that there's an issue with bisexuality, but this feels new to me as someone who's been consuming, like, queer music for a long time. Like, how do you feel about this kind of new wave of, like, young, up-and-coming, like, we are lesbians, musicians, and, like, kind of being prevalent in pop culture?
I love it. I think it's so important. But I also really appreciate that, like, I'm a big, big country music fan, all country music. And so within the last, like, 3-4 years, there's been 3 lesbian artists that have, like, really started to blow up. Morgan Wade, Lily Rose, and Brooke Eden are all fantastic and out lesbians. And, like, that couldn't have happened in country music.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to remember. Oh, Shelley Wright, who's wonderful singer, lesbian, when she came out, like, was kicked out of Nashville.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love that Nashville and country music is, like, now we are seeing more black artists. We're seeing more gay artists.
Do you know Buckle Bunny?
Oh,
it's by, her name's Tanner.
Yes.
Yes, she's on Cowboy Carter.
Yeah. Brittany Spencer is on Cowboy Carter, and I love Brittany Spencer.
I discovered her a while ago, and I was like, oh my God, she's like so good. That's so cool. I am obsessed with that fucking song. It's called Buckle Bunny. Anyways, I'm sorry.
I like truly think that we are on like the cusp of like, this is going to sound very silly, but like a lesbian bloom. Because like,
I love that.
I feel like, and I'm very curious to hear your take on this.
I feel like in the 2010s, like the later half especially, with like Queer Eye and Drag Race and like a lot of these other things, there has been like a big pop culture media focus on like gay men. Not to say there are no queer women on Drag Race. Of course, there are a lot of trans girls, but like it has felt like gay men have kind of owned the slice of like gay representation in media for a very long time. And I feel like now, because we're finding out a bunch of them suck, unfortunately. Not to call anyone out, Todrick, but...
hey, Ellen sucked too.
Ellen?
God damn it, Ellen. God
fuck you, Ellen, saying you're all into kindness, because I love kindness and you're not kind.
It's
you're
rude.
Nothing of the sort.
You're not kind.
It's rude.
But yeah, like...
She's LA nice. She's not New York kind.
Right, because like in comedy, like, I feel like queer women had a moment in the 90s with, like, Ellen and Wanda Sykes. And, like, you can go back further.
But Wanda
Sykes
wasn't out in the 90s.
When did she actually come out?
That's true. That's true.
Probably within, like, the last 10
Yeah,
years.
After really? 2005.
Yeah. Oh, I thought she came out earlier.
Nah. So Margaret Cho did a lot of bits about being bisexual before.
Yeah. I just, there was a little more, like, so, do you know the story of the Yup, I'm Gay cover with Ellen? Mm-mm. So that was originally offered to Lily Tomlin after she won her Tony Search for Signs of Intelligent Life in the Universe that her wife co-wrote with her, and they were together at the time, and, like, it was an open secret in the entertainment industry, because, like, Lily Tomlin had done an Altman movie, she had a Tony, she was, like, a huge comedy
person. How did I not know that?
Time went to her and was, like, and I think this was, like, maybe the 80s. Like, it was a long time before the Ellen cover. And they said, hey, we really want to, like, have a gay person on the cover of Time magazine and, like, have it be this big moment to show, like, this actress everybody loves and this comedian everybody loves is gay. And Lily Tomlin's talked about it since. And she's like, I told them, fuck no. And the interviewer's like, really? You didn't want to do it? And she's like, I'm sorry. You think I wanted to throw away my career after I got a Tony and, like, be the sacrificial lamb and, like, get blackballed? She was like, I watched what happened to Ellen. I was right. She was like, her show got canceled. Laura Dern couldn't get work, and she wasn't even gay. She just played a gay woman on Ellen's show. She was like, there was no way in fucking hell I was doing that to myself. And she was like, sure, would it have helped? Maybe. But she was like, I had a life I had to worry about. I wanted to keep working. I wanted to be in entertainment. She was like, I was on the cusp of really big things, and like, it. As much as, like, I think queer women have had more of a presence in comedy than, like, gay men for a while, like, it was still a thing, and, like, it's kind of crazy to think about, and I love this idea of, like, it being cool to be, like, a lesbian, because I feel, we've talked about this a little bit, I feel like women are sometimes, have a little bit more of an allowance to, like, very much in quotes, and this is, like, society talk, experiment, and, like, fiddle with the idea of bisexuality without it being like a hard commitment and without like necessarily identifying as queer. And I'm kind of all for this like era of like, no, everyone be as gay as fucking possible. Like, as which way is gay on the Kinsey? 7?
I don't know. I always get it wrong. I always forget.
I think it's 7. I think it's a Kinsey 7. I want more women full blown Kinsey 7. Sarah, break up with your husband right now. I know you got a baby, but we kind of need you to les it up. But yeah, I'm excited for it personally. Like, because, like, again, early 2000s, I always think of, like, blue is the warmest color as, like, it was kind of this thing to be, like, lesbians are art house movies.
Lesbians are art house movies, but blue is the warmest color is through a male gaze.
It is.
So through a male gaze.
You can tell that it's not a male director. Hard.
Yeah.
And those girls hated him.
Yeah. Rightfully so.
Yeah, he was evil.
Yeah. Rightfully so.
I'm for the Saffisons.
Saffisons, hell yeah.
Oh, Saffisons, I love it.
Yeah.
I know.
Other album title. Tiger Princess and Saffisons.
Honestly, that's killer. Yeah. That's amazing. Did we play Red Flag, Green Flag?
No, but let's do it.
Should we? Let's do it.
So it's a little game. It's probably self-explanatory. We're each going to take turns yelling things out. You just tell us if for you it's a red flag or a green flag.
Okay.
You can say beige if it's somewhere in the middle. But try not to ask. Try not to get too many caught up in the follow-up questions.
Just just right up. There's one that I have asked every time that it's different now. It hits
Tell
different
us.
Now. Has wrestled an alligator?
Green.
Yeah.
Yeah. You that one makes
gotta
sense.
Gotta be.
Cannot cook at all. Like, cereal and a sandwich is rough for them.
Beige.
Okay.
Okay.
Brave. I'll do it.
Okay. Okay. Cannot cook.
I have one if you need a minute.
Yeah, you go.
Isn't out to their coworkers.
Mm. Yeah, the red flag. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Has a soft spot for Grimes.
For what?
Grimes, Elon Musk's ex-wife and the pop star.
Oh. I don't really know anything about that. So. Oh,
okay. So that's a beige flag. Okay.
similar.
Has a soft spot for Elon Musk.
Ew. Oh, red flag.
Red flag.
No. Is a gayler.
A what?
Is that a gay Taylor?
A gay Taylor Swift fan who's like a conspiracy theorist that she's a secret lesbian or bisexual and just isn't.
That's me. I'm not a fan, but that's me. I think she's a secret pillow princess. I think that. That's me.
But is like, because the Gaylor tweet that goes around every once in a while is like when she started dating Travis Kelsey, she was like, some insane woman was like, no, we already decided this. You're gay. And it's like, excuse me.
I think. She could be bi.
Sure, but like, is a person who's like, no. Oh. She's gay. Like,
no, well, I don't think anybody else gets to tell somebody what their gender or sexuality is.
Agreed.
Red.
Yeah.
That's true. I would never, and I assume she's dating who she, like, I don't know. I take that at face value. Yeah. No, and that's, I think, actually, really what it is that I think she, like, played around with it and just sort of, I think she gay baited. Is what it is. Like early on.
You haven't seen Travis Kelsey's brother, right? The one who keeps ripping off his shirt?
No, but he's hot, right?
He is a bear.
Yeah, he's a bear.
Yeah. Is he gay?
No. But like the bears are having a rough time with this one because they're like it's like when everyone found out Chris Evans had a gay brother and was like, excuse us.
Has an OnlyFans.
Green.
Okay.
It's
love
fine.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't do their own laundry.
Like sends it out?
No, like just doesn't fucking do it.
Red.
Yeah.
It can't be nasty.
Right. I was a little afraid you were going to be like, no, I'll do it.
Yeah, it can't be. Yeah,
can't be nasty. Can't be nasty, man.
Is very messy, but not dirty.
Red.
Okay.
I like for things to be. I just feel a lot less anxious when things are tidy.
I'm with you. Is currently enrolled in an improv level 2 class. So they've already completed one improv class and they are doing a second.
Red, specifically because of my age. If I was in my 20s, fine. But I don't think I want another 37-year-old that's like, hey, I think it's time to get into improv.
I love you. Your answer is perfect. I'm less patient than you. If it's in my 20s, I'm like, okay, why don't you pay for the check and I'm going to leave.
Hates their job. That can be beige.
Yeah, that can be beige. That's such a
beige flag. Everybody hates their job.
Yeah.
Sorry, job. Let's see. Oh, has a podcast.
Yeah, green.
You are so open-minded. I love it.
I'm like all for like celebrating my partner and like whatever she wants to do and whatever her.
I'm for it too. I don't think I could personally be with another like performer. Like I don't think I could date an actor, especially because I don't know if you've met a lot of gay male actors. They're actually kind of annoying.
For the listeners, he said annoying.
Yeah, thank you.
But he sort of shielded his mouth.
I think they'll be able to hear it.
They'll see through the secret code.
Rides around on a scooter everywhere.
You mean like this scooter? I have a tattoo of a Vespa.
No. That's because that's a
Vespa. Yeah, I want to ride on
hot.
It.
No, that's hot as fuck. I'm talking about like
a kicky
razor scooter or like a motorized razor scooter.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. We got to find some reds. We got to find some more reds.
Okay. Ooh, here we go. Super into American Psycho. With Christian Bale.
Yes, it's hard for me to say because my favorite show of all time is Law and Order SVU.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
I love
so good.
Everything murder.
Okay.
So I don't know if that, so maybe green flag because maybe we're both going to be really interested in murder stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. How about this? Doesn't want kids at all.
Red flag.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now we are starting to get somewhere, I think.
I'm like very proud of myself for just admitting that.
Yeah.
I'm really proud of you too.
Because you've established yourself as like.
I love children.
Oriented. Yeah. Hates dogs.
Red. Why?
Yeah, why?
This might be a tough one because I think it is fairly nuanced. Has no communication with their family.
Well, you can be in my family.
Yeah, that could be a bit, that's a beige flag for me because I got, what's the family's deal? You know what I mean? That's neutral. I got, yeah.
Right. It's such a case by case basis. Yeah. I think it's a really hard one to say, but like.
For some people, it is a deal breaker though. That is a thing. Some people who really are close to their families, you know, that's,
The only time when it's a deal breaker for me, and I'm curious because you're from the South proper.
Yes.
And I think this might be fairly common. I know a good number. They are mostly gay men who are like, I went no contact with my family. Like, they're this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, on a little more investigation, the family's, like, really trying to make an effort and, like, bridge the gap. And they're like, no, you weren't, like, perfectly on board when I came out in high school. And, like, because of that, I never want to speak to you again. And, like, I've just heard too many stories from gay people where they're like, I wasted a lot of time being like very angry at my family who like didn't know better. And like, yeah, some were not great, but like, they were like, I ignored that effort for like years and years. And like, I would have trouble with because it's like, they want to be in your life like, in some way. Like, I think
if the family was trying and like wanted, that definitely give them a chance.
I do. Although I will say, I feel like, I don't know, healing is not linear. And like, there definitely have been times in my life where my parents were trying and they were doing everything that my higher self said I needed them to do to be in my life. My not my vagina, but like my lower self, my actual lower self, like my inner child was just not ready. Just wasn't, you know what I mean? Like, and
it's tough. That stuff is
hard. I mean, I don't speak to my sister at all. She's very homophobic.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I know she like wants to talk to me and stuff, but I also know that she...
Does she want to talk to you about Jesus?
No, I think she just wants to act like nothing's happened and that she can still make... She can get mad at me and tell me she doesn't believe in my lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not someone we want.
So, I get it. Some people just suck. So, and even if you love them, they suck.
This may be a very intense red flag, green flag for you.
Mm.
They own a tiger.
Oh.
Actually, red flag.
That's...
Yeah.
Allie, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
You've grown... If you said green flag, I would have been okay.
I do not think it's right to own exotic animals. But when you're 11 and you ask for a monkey, it's pretty cool.
I kind of wanted to make sure we were now on the same page. Because I was like, we've established that Allie's like a thoughtful, smart girl. Like, we just got to check this one last thing off the box so that the cycle does not repeat itself. Yeah. And Allie doesn't end up on top of another tiger. Yeah.
We covered the type pretty well.
So we only have one more question.
Okay.
And I think you've answered it a little bit, but this is a little more specific to like what's current in pop culture. Who is so hot right now? Who's just the hottest person right now? And there are no wrong answers.
I mean, I'm like a real sucker for a redhead. So, like, Natasha Lyonne is always on my mind.
Oh.
Always on my mind.
You have
great taste. Yeah.
Thank you.
Also, you have to get into Chapel Roan. Redhead.
Oh, okay. Oh, I love a redhead.
She's redhead and from Missouri and like has a little bit of like
okay
that energy in her music. Like I think I'm gonna play Good Luck Babe okay after this.
It makes no sense.
That's a mistake.
She's so straight. And even she will be like, I know it makes no sense.
I know.
It
makes no sense.
Natasha Lyonne's such a good pick. Sarah, do you have one?
I mean, I gotta say Beyonce. And I think I said Beyonce 2 weeks ago.
That's okay.
It's or, still so, or our guest, it, but it's still true. She's just so hot right now. Yeah.
I think I'm going to say Sabrina Carpenter just because
yes
a photo was released of her from, I think, one of her music videos. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was AI at first.
No, it's from her Skims campaign.
Yeah. That. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Because like I only know of her like peripherally because she opens for Taylor Swift, right? Mm. Like, that's her whole thing right now. The outro to one of her songs is always different. Mm. She like talks to the audience during the outro and like
okay
says a little thing. She is
so
gorgeous.
Hot right now.
Like, when I say I thought she was AI, like, literally, her... I mean, whoever did her makeup for that Skims campaign deserves an award because, like, she is glowing.
Yeah.
Like, and beautiful. And obviously,
I'm loving the glowy, dewy look.
Yeah.
That's... Isn't that, like, Pat McGrath's, like, permanent stamp on pop culture? Like, everyone glows because of Pat McGrath? Mm-hmm. Like, the makeup artist?
Oh.
Yeah.
I can afford Elf.
I found out
Elf that primers though are the best.
They are good. Mm-hmm.
Did you know that it's an acronym?
Elf?
Yeah.
For
what's
what
it stand for?
Eyes, lips, face.
Makes total
I
sense.
Did know
right
that.
I had no idea. I was like, oh, that's cute that they're named after elves. And then I was like, it's an acronym.
Do you know how much elves love skincare?
Well, Elf. It's funny. I followed a bunch of drag queens online and like
I thought you were about to say I follow a bunch of elves. I was like, they're real.
Yeah. Most of the women we've had on the podcast have been like, I'm into elfish little twinks. And mm-hmm. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
If elves were real.
Drag queens love Elf because it's at every drugstore, mm-hmm. It's pretty cheap. And because they are like going for like put the product on.
Yeah.
Like they're like, it's great for drag makeup.
Yeah. And the primers are legit like the best.
The
yeah
base tape. That's the one I use.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay, that's been the podcast. Do you yeah want to tell people? Oh, wait, first, real quick, explain what Y'all Gay is to someone who might listen mm-hmm to this and want to hear more Allie.
Y'all Gay is a podcast for everyone hosted by two Southern queers. So we talk about a lot of queer stuff, but we do have a decent amount of straight people listen. A lot of my friends' husbands listen, which just really cracks me up.
That's so lovely.
It's so cute.
Straight love guys that and for queer them women don't understand how much synergy they actually have.
Yeah.
Because, like, everyone knows that gay guys and straight women get along very well. I'm like, it's the same thing. Like, you guys both want to play catch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's me and my best friend, Ever Maynard, hilarious, non-binary comic, lives in LA, but originally from Texas. So, yeah, we talk about a lot of Southern stuff, and we have guests every now and then, but a lot of times it's just us shooting the shit and telling stories.
Really? And where can people find you?
You can find me at Allie Clayton Comedy. Allie spelled A-L-I.
And are there any shows or gigs coming up you want to promote?
I do. Well, that's the pod. I have an album coming out. I can't say the date. I'm not allowed to say the date.
No, don't okay say the date.
But it will be, let's just say, yeah, follow me on social for the announcement of the album. I have a big show that I'm headlining May 31st at Union Hall.
Okay.
Get those tickets. We'll include the link in the description yeah of the pod.
And then in June, I will be touring through the Midwest. So I'll be in Chicago a lot.
Amazing.
And Michigan and some other places. So
amazing.
Allie, thank you so much for being here.
You're
this
so,
so
welcome.
Lovely.
Thanks for having
it's been
me.
Such a
delightful
treat. We have to.
Y'all, I'm going to find my wife.
You, if you lesbians don't wipe
her, I swear to
did
God,
you not hear
get a ring.
Talked about?
Get up.
You should be so lucky.
And a good one.
Yeah, be a good lesbian.
Not on Amazon. Mine's from Amazon.
Oh, I thought you meant the lesbians.
No.
I got my lesbians ring on Amazon.
I actually have my own ring, so you don't even have to get... That's not
Allie,
good
stop
red
taking
flag,
care of
red
them
flag, red flag, red flag.
All right, that's been the pod. Thank you all so much. Thank you.
Thank you.